Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's home for every game of Chicago Cubs baseball.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
And Chicago Bulls basketball.
Bull game over!
We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. In Odyssey Station.
The Score!
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. We there!
On tomorrow's show, we will talk Bulls with Cody Westerlund. I might find time to get into a discussion about the Lions being on Hard Knocks because they are now going to be on Hard Knocks. That might be fun to get into a conversation about. And then maybe other things happen. Who knows? With live television these days, there's all sorts of things that could happen that one could end up then talking about. Transition is being brought to you by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Parkins and Spiegel have made it back safely and soundly from the desert. Hello, men.
I didn't make it back from anywhere, Lawrence.
Oh, that's right. You didn't go.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
I didn't go.
I meant the Parkins and Spiegel show.
Right.
Because Shane's here and Tanny's here and Spiegs is here.
I'm so happy for their safe arrival.
Oh, man, we thought of you.
That's nice. That's good.
We did. And we thought of you. We're like, would Danny like that we were doing this? I don't know. Would he enjoy that we're having a good time? I'm not exactly sure.
Of course.
And you were able to have a good time with Dan Bernstein there. That's amazing.
Dude, he's adorable. I mean, that's the truth of the matter is the man is he's very interesting, right? He's unique. He's got
a good word for it.
He's got some fears that other people do not. He's got some confidence, obviously, that other people do not.
It was his first flight since COVID, right?
Yes. My favorite moment, Danny, might have been I'm in the elevator with Dan and his wife Beth, who was lovely, and my wife Christine and Beth really enjoyed each other, which was a nice extra part of it as well. But I'm in the elevator, and Bernsie looks at me and he says, "Now this Fremont Street experience, do you have to buy tickets to that?"
Oh,
he asked me.
Yeah, no, you just
walk down Fremont Street.
Just go out the door of the casino and take a left, and it's just happening.
There's some lights and some people.
Yeah.
It's just like a dome that's over.
So much about so much.
That's the thing, Danny.
But so little about so many things as well.
Yes, that's it. It's like there are very strange holes in the man's comfort level and wisdom.
On the front end of transition, Layla brought up Fat Joe, and he's like, "I'm not familiar with Fat Joe." I'm like, "Really?
Yeah.
Like, you're not familiar with Fat Joe? Like, this isn't like an obscure guy. This is Joe Crack. You don't know Joe Crack?" Okay.
I missed Dan. I missed all of you guys. I'm sad to not be there, but of course I wanted you to have fun.
Yes.
And seeing Bernstein in the wild, I mean, the last time he was on a plane before this was Scorehouse, which was we got to see some Bernstein in the wild. So, you know, it's a sight to be seen. Was he able to hold his liquor this time?
Yeah, he did very well. He did That's very good. Well. I think we all did pretty well in that regard. As always, it's an exercise in balancing the temptations that exist. And there's a massive pile of temptations. Oh, man.
Different feeling since you've been
gone. I'm excited to be back, though, Danny. We got stuff going on in all directions, and you will. We're going to give you Vegas stories, but not all in one segment, because I don't think you can handle that.
I understand. Like, Lawrence, they did a very nice job of any text correspondence that happened was very, like, kind and inclusive.
Okay.
But they also have shared basically nothing about what happened so that they could just tell me all of the stories on the air today. And then in the pre-show meeting, they said, we honestly think if we packaged it all together at one time, you might have an overdose of FOMO. Like, it would hurt you too much. And so they're electing for, like, the Chinese water torture method. It's just going to be drip, 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 drip with Vegas stories throughout the show. But I genuinely know very little about what happened with the team out in Vegas. So as the listener hears the stories, I will be hearing them basically all for the first time myself. It's going to be painful.
I got a text from Spiegel because we had talked about something that he might do while out in Vegas. So he said, I'll tell you about it during transition. So now I got to know, did you go see our boys?
Silk Sonic concert at the BetMGM at Dolby Live at the MGM Grand. That is a top five music concert for me all time.
What?
Easy.
For and, you? Like, and, how many? You've seen, like, hundreds of shows.
In lots of different genres. Like, you know, really, like, I'm saying top five, like, any orchestra that I've seen at the peak of their powers, any dead show outside in the pouring rain where I was on all the drugs, like whatever, like Lollapalooza 93 at Tinley, I think it was 93 where I, or maybe it was 94. Where I saw like six of my favorite bands at the time, all in the same place with like Beastie Boys and the Pumpkins and George Clinton and the Breeders and stuff. Like this concert, man, it's two of the best musicians alive, who both can be great frontmen and are both, by the way, great drummers and percussionists and band leaders and dancers. And it was outrageous. And they took my phones. Danny, I thought of you because you were the first time I ever heard about that. They did that for you when you went to see Chappelle, right?
Oh, the Yonder case?
Yes.
All the big comedians are doing it now, but yeah, they take your phone, they lock it up. If you have an emergency or if you need to go, you got to go out to the aisle and get it unlocked in like a designated phone zone. But yeah, doesn't it make the experience better?
I was so present. I was so completely and utterly present, just me and my lady with Silk Sonic. And the truth is, I only know like four, maybe five of the songs. I haven't had a chance to delve deep into the album, but I really love the ones I know. It didn't matter. It's just so damn good. And they're dancing. They're like, visually and sonically, I thought of the Jackson 5. I thought of the Spinners because they're doing that kind of stuff. I thought of James Brown, of course, and Prince, Stevie Wonder in his prime bouncing around from different instruments. Just like, it just absolutely blew me away. Worth the trip to Vegas if just to see their residency.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy good.
Well, you're right, because, I mean, look, Bruno Mars can run a show by himself. Like, he understands how to make things big. Anderson .Paak is a little bit more reserved, but once he gets on stage...
Well, yes, and here's the thing. Here's what I ended up truly loving about it, Danny, and you'll understand the hippie sensibility. Or, like, Bruno is one of the greatest performers alive, right? As a dancer,
Agreed.
A singer.
He can do everything.
He can do everything. Yeah. And Anderson knows it and is not threatened by it. Just lets him do his thing and kill. And they both sing on everything. And it's just like they set each other up. And Bruno's respect for Anderson is obviously through the roof. It's true collaboration. Seemingly without like frontman egos getting involved too much, because they both know if either one of them shines, they both shine. You know what I mean?
Bruno, over here.
Yeah, so it hit me spiritually in that way too.
Do you think that that comes from a place of we were apart? Like we were solo acts and we are giving of ourselves to make this group versus a group starting out and then there being...
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a super group like that. It is a super tandem like that. And he told a funny story at one point. Bruno said, this all started 5 years ago. We were on tour together. And I said, and Anderson was playing. I said, man, wouldn't it be crazy if I came out and played drums for you one night? And Anderson, what'd you say? And Anderson goes, nah. He told him no. He told Bruno Mars no 5 years ago. And Bruno's like, he's wanted it ever since. And now they've got this thing together.
And
you know,
now they're roping in the dough.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, that helps, right? Maybe they split the gate 50-50. So that helps have there be no ego.
It does help. But Danny, you know, we've all been in situations where the ego could be there. And these guys are just, they were killing it.
That's great. Like creatives collaborating and realizing that they make each other better, and
yes.
You know, rising tide lifts all boats. That's a beautiful thing, man. And yeah, I'm glad you went off and you did it.
Yeah,
just you and Christine went off and you saw the show. That's good. You can't take the money with you, Spiegs. You're buying memories. You're buying experiences. I know you had a little bit of sticker shock,
oh,
right?
At the price of the ticket. Yeah, no, man. Because we all have our limits. We all have that moment where we looked at it like I can't do that.
Yeah, of course.
I can't spend on that. So, yeah. I consulted the adult in the room, Chris Tannehill. So, yeah.
Good.
And then the adult.
He gave you the thumbs up?
He helped me with the process. Yes, indeed. It was basically like, look, can you, I can't do this. I want to gamble later. Dude, what'd you tell me, Tanny?
Well, basically, I didn't tell him what to do. I would never tell any man what to do, but I helped him with the process. It's about the how, right? It's not about the why. It's about the how. How do you formulate your process to come to the best decision possible? But I basically, long story short, I said no one will ever regret doing something cool in Vegas.
Yep. That's a great point.
That is a good point.
Yep.
So wait, you weren't trying to figure out the whys? Okay.
The hows. We're on to the hows now.
Art.
Uh-huh.
All of the
house. Art Howe.
Lovey Howe.
I don't have any more.
That's it. That's all we got.
Mr. and Mrs. Howe.
Top two. That's all. Well, one
Keep
more
your
music
critical
thing.
Eye on that detail of Howe.
Yes.
While you're here, while I have you here, Matt Spiegel. Danny, did you watch Summer of Soul?
No.
So Questlove wins the Oscar last night for best documentary.
And that's, of course, exactly what we'll all remember from that moment.
Yes, I know that is the only thing that I will take. Him and Ariana winning Oscars is the only thing to take away from last night. But that film, I marvel at this for a geeky reason, and Tanny and Spiegs, you guys are kind of both in the same boat. The sound of it. Like the music, like I don't know what they rose or dropped, but the way the music sounds is amazing to me. That in itself should have gotten an Oscar. If you have not checked out Summer of Soul, it is just, you will feel good. You will be like Halle Berry, make me feel good. You will feel good after seeing that documentary.
It is truly great. I totally agree. And talk about Stevie Wonder in his prime. 19 year old.
19.
That was right when he'd been released from his contract and allowed to make whatever the hell kind of music he wants to. So the soul is breathing free for like the first time, and you can see it.
I loved watching Sly. Like Sly, like full Sly, and the way that he was able to mesmerize the crowd. And you talk about like the guy's got the charisma of like a cult leader.
Yeah, he was scary.
That's like, Sly.
He scared the hell out of him for a while. And a lot of the folks in Harlem were like, what's this? He's got a white drummer, man. What the hell are they doing?
What's going on here with the white rhythm section that you got going on back there?
They could kill, though.
And they crushed. They absolutely crushed. So I know that there's other things in the Oscars that people would like to focus on.
I think most people are talking about Questlove, Danny, don't you think?
But honestly, I want to do 4 hours on Will Smith against Chris Rock today. What an unbelievable story. But yes, we will do Vegas as the diversion and plenty of sports and all of that. But it's one of those moments where we just know so much about Chris Rock and Will Smith. It's jarring to see something that unscripted happen to people that famous.
It felt like two of our friends were fighting, and we were like, what just happened here?
Yeah, it was like, wait. Okay, yeah, it was real. Like, I was on the it was real train of thought immediately. because of just the reaction and how it played and how Chris Rock bit his tongue afterwards, which you never see Chris Rock bite his tongue.
Yeah, that is the most rattled I've ever seen Chris Rock at anything ever. And he was still...
Even rattled, he was really good.
Oh, he amazing. Was crazy professional, better than any of us would have been.
I just got hit in the face. I got embarrassed in front of 10 million people.
And now I got a segue to best documentary.
Yep, and I do.
Yeah.
And he didn't take the cheap shot, like, which I unbelievable. And we will get into it in Zapruder film, all of the angles.
Slapruder film. Slapruder film.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But just, I couldn't believe it. I still can't really believe that it happened. Like, it's one of those things that if you would have drawn it up on Saturday Night Live, you'd be like, no. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Will Smith wouldn't lose his cool like that.
Oh, man. We all have our feelings of less than, you know?
And of course.
Will's feelings of less than. I heard you talking about it, Lawrence. Are still not as tough as Tupac in terms of Jada.
Tupac would have shot Chris Rock.
Will Smith's book, right? He talked about feeling like a coward.
Yes.
For not standing up to his father,
correct,
who was abusive to his mother.
This is what I was trying to explain to people last night, that this has been a mountain of stuff that's been, it's not right. I want to be clear, like, it's not right. But this has been a mountain of stuff, especially with him and Jada, that you have these moments where that red table talk, where a lot of people felt like he was being emasculated, where Jada talks about her entanglement with that other dude. And there's so much, and there is all of the Tupac stuff.
Absolutely.
And trying to measure up to Tupac.
But,
and I'm sure he's like, on the night of my moment, on the night where most people think I'm getting ready to win the Oscar, and she shot him a look, and it was like, oh, okay.
Now I've got to go into action.
Now I got to do something.
But here's the thing, Lawrence. I heard you talking about it earlier, and you said, you know, I'm trying to think, what would I do? Because I've got a little of that in me, and we've talked about that before. And you said, I was driving in, and I heard you say, I think I would have gone on stage. And I'm like, no, no, you can't. You can't. If you're him, you can't.
I think I would have gone on stage,
would have
grabbed Chris and just been like, yo, she's going through alopecia, and that's why she doesn't have hair. So maybe we don't make fun of people who have disabilities.
You do it after because here's the thing.
Fair enough.
I think you got to do it after. You're the one putting yourself out there. You are Will Smith. You're a public person. And it's not just that you have to pay the price. You just wrote a book and put it all out there. I saw your hour with Oprah and I was like, I cannot believe they're talking about this. Oh my God. So if you're putting all that out there and profiting off it or feeling like it's the right thing to do to put it out there, then you deal with the arrows, such as the business.
Yes, but I think that the book was a response to all of the arrows that he's dealt with this particular relationship.
Yeah. You think that's going to stop the arrows?
No, not at all. But yeah, at least then you go, well, why am I not making money off of this? Instead of the internet speculating about what my relationship is like, why don't I give them a peek of what it is? Because, look, there's been all sorts of stuff with Will and Jada and their marriage. There have been people that have speculated that he has a relationship with his best friend, Dwayne Martin, that his sexuality has been in question multiple times. And the red table talk meme of Will, like, sitting there, like, in tears.
Oh boy, while she's talking about,
like, I'm sure that there was a point where he's going, man, I've had to defend this relationship for 20 years, and he snapped.
I know that
he snapped. Well, we could all relate to snapping. Right? We've all, like, something that is relatively innocuous, but it's the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back, and you snap. It just takes a certain type of person for that snap to not have any sort of, like, snap back on you, to sit your ass back down in that chair when it's the Academy Awards being broadcast around the world. You're about to win Best Picture, and you legitimately could have been brought away in handcuffs.
You're right. Well,
it was in play that he could have gotten arrested.
It is
on
play.
The spot.
You're right. That's where the snap merges with the expanded confidence of a movie star and the sense of entitlement of a dude sitting right there. He thinks, oh, no, I can get away with this.
I don't know. He's like, he goes back, like, a commercial break. Oh, who calms you down? down when you snap. Like, maybe you got to wait for therapy, or like, maybe you got to smoke something. Maybe you talk to your wife. Or Tyler Perry and Denzel and Bradley Cooper.
How about Denzel just always is the coolest dude in the room?
He's got the gangster lean. Always. All night long with the gangster lean.
And even like as Will's doing his speech, Denzel's talking to him.
Thanks, D.
And he's like, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you said in your highest moment, the devil's going to come for you. Yeah, and you're right, D.
And guess what?
Here we are.
It sure did. Like, it sure came down here. So, yeah, man. Like, there's so many levels of it. And I was saying that I think those two guys will process it and be over it way before the public.
No, you're right. Well, that's what P. Diddy said, right? We're going to go to the cookout after this. Okay. And we're going to solve it like family.
And Tanny,
I was like, yes, P. Diddy.
Tanny will understand this. The irony
Of
it being him who was the next person on stage when we all know that Diddy be slapping people all the time.
Wow. Well, Diddy's video was hilarious. He was like, I understand.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to just slap somebody.
Him and J. Cole. But, I mean, Diddy, like, has a history of slapping people. A history of it. And this is also someone who, the last time that there was a big kerfuffle at an award show, it was the 1995 Source Awards with Suge Knight calling out P. Diddy. Like, the whole thing was just like, what is happening right now?
Okay.
The other, there's so much that I want to talk about with that, but like understanding and empathizing from like where the baggage Will Smith has is definitely valuable here. But also, like, man, he's a comedian on a stage telling a joke, doing his job. Like, I remember listening to an interview with Jimmy Kimmel where he was talking about the Joker and how he was like really uncomfortable with the ending of the movie because, spoiler alert, right? The talk show host gets shot there. And like there were a bunch of comedians last night that were like,
oh yeah,
hold on a second.
Yeah, there's going to be people trying to get their Will Smith on and think it's okay to do. Yeah,
you're telling a joke about a public figure at what is in essence a comedy show, right? You hire Chris Rock to tell jokes. It becomes a comedy show when he's on stage. You can't walk up and hit the comedian.
But Danny, you act like there isn't precedent. This the whole reason that there is a website called Rotten Tomatoes is because people used to throw rotten tomatoes at people. Mm-hmm. Like this, there's a history of comedians being assaulted throughout. It's not right, but the idea of, oh, well, now that could happen, they should know their own history and know that it was something that happened, that there's a great quote on, you have to be funny or else they'll kill you.
Now I'm thinking about the scene in Blues Brothers when they're playing the dive bar.
It's my favorite scene.
With
the chicken wire.
The chicken wire.
Yeah. With the chicken wire.
Both kinds, country and Western.
That's right.
It's so great. Like, that scene, I love that scene because at the end of it, Elwood says, that was Rawhide, and then immediately gets hit with glass in his sunglasses, and he goes, thank you. Such a great, another great musical.
Maybe
the best musical.
One of the best all time, without a doubt. God.
So I'm guessing that you guys are going to spend some time talking about the White Sox weekend. Is that...
No, we will, because
it'll come up.
Oh no! It'll come up a lot because that's an improper ask that is going on.
That is correct.
That is an improper ask for a young player,
because that is a play that a regular right fielder makes.
Well,
pretty much.
And if you're right, you have to try and make that play. If you're in left, you can let it fall and be like, okay. All right. You know,
probably let it fall in March anyway.
You could probably let it fall in March anyway, but the instincts of your right fielder should be go for that play every single time. That's a premium position.
Yep.
And they don't have one.
So we will get to that over the course of the show. Vegas stories, Will Smith, the Bulls scenarios just continue to get weirder every game that they play. And Ryan Poles misses on another big swing of his offseason. So we got a lot to do today, Lawrence.
Glad you guys are both back in the saddle. Looking forward to all of the stories. Have a wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you both tomorrow.
All right, Lawrence, you as well. Tanny's Open kicks us off. It's a reunion of sorts. Parkers and Spiegel on the score.
It was pretty good until he got shot.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.